Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
What's going on, people? How are you? It's your girl, Karina Reichman, coming at you from the 212, the greatest city in the world, New York City. I'm back home, and I'm so thrilled to be chopping it up with my mainest man, the guy on the other end of the microphone. What's going on, Isaac? How are you?
Karina, it's so great to know you are back in New York City. I just am overjoyed, inappropriately happy, and looking forward to just getting into it right away.
Dude, couldn't feel more similarly, my friend. This is great. It really, it's always good to be home. Though I had a great tour with Mr. Marco Benevento on the West Coast. It is, it's always a shocking thing that, you know, I was away for just 2 weeks, though, you know, 2 weeks is sort of the marker of it being, you know, anything less than 2 weeks feels short, anything over 2 weeks feels long, you know, but it's an interesting thing, like, you know, being on tour time, regardless of time zone, is always, you know, interesting for the body and the mind alike, but, you know, the West Coast, it's funny, it's only 3 hours of a time change, right? But when you're staying up till 3, 4 in the morning every night on the West Coast, after your show, you're driving, you're hanging out, you're packing up, whatever it is, it's just what happens. And so, you know, that's, we're starting to get further and further away from East Coast normalcy here, you know? And so when you come back from those things, and then, you know, it's the craziest time zone shift in one's body and mind when you come home. Of course, nothing compared to Europe or Asia or anything like that, but, like, you know, you're encroaching on, you know, those time zone differences just due to the fact that you're staying up so late, you know, when it's already 3 hours behind. So crazy stuff. Learning to figure it out. I've only been home for a day, and yeah, let me tell you, it was not easy to get up in the morning. But, you know, it's one of those things. Nobody talks about it. You know, tour lag is real. And then, you know, the longer you do this stuff, you just start to, like, in the beginning of the tour, you're fresh-faced, bushy-eyed, good to go, you know, and then it keeps going. And, your internal clock keeps getting set back further and further. You get further and further away from, you know, you just start to feel like you're a circus act, you know, or something like that. It's a bizarre feeling, but we did real great out there, and I'm so stoked that, you know, honestly, I'd like to shout out the Doug Fir, which is a club in Portland, Oregon. I really hold to the fact that the Doug Fir might be the greatest small club in these continental United States, and I say that for many reasons. Number one, the sound in there is absolutely incredible. you go downstairs and it's just, you know, a Doug fir, for those who don't know, it's a kind of tree that is very populous in those parts, you know, the Pacific Northwest and whatnot. And it's just, the architecture is so goddamn beautiful. And it's constructed out of all of these logs, and it's sort of modern, but it's sort of, I don't know, it's really an interesting looking place, and it sounds incredible, it feels incredible. And if you're a touring band, you can stay at what they call the Jupiter Hotel, which is literally right upstairs from the club. So picture this, Isaac, you're there, you're playing your show, you put down your gear. If you want, you can be in your hotel room, which, by the way, is very fancy and delightful, in 30 seconds. You just walk upstairs and boom, you shut the door, you're good to go, which is just an amazing feeling as somebody who's, you know, traveling, playing music in a different town every night. Man, I just can't say enough good things about the place. And the restaurant that also you could be in 30 seconds is phenomenal. And they have free coffee before 11 a.m. Not that I ever woke up that early, but let me tell you that it exists. So that was super fun. We played two nights there, which was just the best. And I'd like to shout out the Knott Springs Spa in Portland, Oregon. The dear woman, Allie, who runs the place, is a fan of mine and reached out to me and wanted to see if the entire touring party wanted to come and have a soak. We're talking hot plunges, we're talking cold plunges, we're talking saunas, we're talking steam rooms, and seven of us went and enjoyed, you know, 2+ hours of luxuriation on our, you know, second of two nights at the Doug fir. It was really a tour highlight, and we're so thrilled that, you know, there are kind people out there that are offering those things to us where, you know, our bodies were at the end of, you know, the tour, and things were definitely, you know, it was time to luxuriate for 2 seconds. So it was really a lovely, lovely experience. And thank you so much, Allie, and to the fine people at Knott Springs. They all came to the show, raged it proper in the front row. Was so delighted to see. And yeah, Marco Tour, man, we always have a good time. And I'm thrilled for the experiences and thrilled to be home. And now my next thing, Isaac, is Halloween this Friday, which is sold out.
Wow. And
in a time where festivals are certainly not selling out anything but, really, this is hot goss, you know. So I'm excited for that in a big way. And you know, for those who don't know, that is in the swamps of Florida. You fly to Jacksonville, you drive for an hour and a half, and you arrive at the Spirit of the Suwannee Park, which is enormous, beautiful, Spanish moss on the trees, incredible bodies of water with light shows and crazy fire displays. And I couldn't be more excited to play with my band again after 2 weeks of playing with Marco. So that's the hot goss. I'm delighted.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about that. You know, I saw the schedule for that festival, and it just looks like, you know, they curated and staggered the artists in such a way that you can really take in quite a lot in a very relaxed way and just, you know, enjoy the multiple stages and the different kinds of music. I don't have it up right now in front of me, but I remember looking at the schedule when they released it, and I just thought, wow, this has a nice touch and will make for some excellent days of music for all of those attending.
Certainly. I'm really excited. My stage, I get to open it. It goes me, then Liz Cooper, David Shaw, Margo Price, and then Frank Moody, which will be great. And I'm wildly excited to see Portugal the Man headline that evening after two spectacular sets by the String Cheese Incident. So that'll be really fun. And, you know, for those of you listening that are coming, I hope to see you there. 3:15. On the Hallows stage, I couldn't be more excited. I've played that festival many, many times with Marco, once with my band in 2019, and it's always a good time. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there and for new fun gigs that lie ahead, Isaac. But speaking of fun new gigs, there's one on our brain, one that you attended last weekend, the woman of the hour, if you ask me. Her name's Brandi Carlile. Holy shit, dude. What do you
Definitely. Well, I mean, part of the reason that she's on everybody's brain is that she's fabulous. But the other reason she's on everybody's brain is that she has assisted Joni Mitchell in returning to the stage. They played together at the Newport Folk Festival this past summer, and they are going to be performing two nights, one together and one will just be Brandy, although it is billed with special guests. It's going to be June 9th and 10th at the Gorge Amphitheater in George, Washington State. And it is part of the Echoes Through the Canyon concert series. And I mean, Joni Mitchell is making her, you know, return to a ticketed show for the first time in over 20 years.
My lord.
And yeah, I mean, this is you know, Joni means so much to so many people, and you know, her presence on this earth and this opportunity to see her means so much for so many people. And I've spoken to a lot of people in the past week who've just said, yeah, I'm dropping everything and I'm just going to make sure I make it to the Gorge. You know, Brandy is somebody who came on, you know, my radar, I guess a little bit late. You know, she had some breakthrough success, and I saw her first headlining show at Madison Square Garden a couple of years ago and was completely blown away by her musicality and her presence. And, you know, really her attention to the live show was something I was very taken with. You know, she's obviously somebody who spent a lot of years on the road playing for audiences of all kinds, and something about seeing her on the big stage at the Garden, which I did again this past Saturday. There's kind of it's a very special thing to behold, and the energy in the room and the experience of love for her and her original music and her voice and her band. It's just a very cool thing that I am glad to be a part of. And I'm glad that she's, you know, been able to just make such a kind of a unique career, in the sense that, you know, she has these studio albums. She has this work with Joni Mitchell. She's an, you know, activist of all sorts. And also, you know, ride the mainstream flow and have so much kind of love and success from so many people.
It's out of control. It's fantastic. And I love her being sort of so close with Joni and having so much respect for Joni. And didn't earlier this year at Carnegie Hall, was it? She did All of Blue by Joni Mitchell. Is that accurate?
Yes.
I mean, my lord, that's... Mm-hmm. Crazy.
That is
crazy, crazy. And just, you know, we, as you said, the you know, there are not enough words in the English language to describe the mark that Joni has left on contemporary American music and music as a whole, you know. And for her to be the age that she is, seeing the shit that she has seen, walked the path that she has walked, and to have Brandy sort of come and bring her, not out of retirement, that doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean? Like, she's coming back, and it's such a beautiful thing to see someone who means so much and who really wrote the book for so many people when it comes to folk music and beyond. You know, it's absolutely out of control. So I'm so blown away that this is happening. Obviously, the Gorge, a place I have not been, but it is very high on the bucket list, arguably one of the greatest outdoor venues in the country. You know, for this to be the backdrop is incredible. And I feel like we'd be...
Who wouldn't want to see that?
Who wouldn't want to see that?
You know, who wouldn't want to go there?
It's incredible. I feel like I just need to mention the twins in Brandy's band, right?
And oh, yeah, absolutely.
Obsessed with the twins. These are, you know, two bald gentlemen. One plays guitar, one plays bass. Is that accurate? Do they both play guitar, Isaac?
You know, they're multi-instrumentalists, really.
Oh, baby. They're so good to go.
They play a lot of different things, and I'm looking up their names right now because, I mean, we need to do justice to them on the pod.
We need to, absolutely. Brandy has these two twins who are in her band, for those who don't know, and it's beyond being in her band. I, you know, have heard that they split everything almost evenly amongst the two of them, and they live together. Am I wrong to say that? Am I just, you know, spewing slanderous lies here? I don't know.
I think they do live together. I don't know if that's still the case. You know, Brandy, a wife and kids now. Her kids actually came on stage for the end of the encore. But they are Phil and Tim Hanseroth. And they have been with Brandy since, you know, the start of her career, you know, taking it across the country. And, you know, she has this audiobook that our producer, Marlo Shankweiler, really loves, where she really divulges quite a bit about her life and her story. And the twins feature very prominently. And it's just amazing how she talks about them and how much she loves them. And they are obviously, you know, talented beyond belief.
And they're family to her. It's really a beautiful thing. I love it. I just love a story like that. You know, it's just great. And they, of course, have been with her since the beginning when she was playing to no one. And now look at her, you know, it's absolutely incredible. So yeah, just wanted to shout out the twins because I think that's incredible. And wow, Brandy, Joni, we salute you. Isaac, I'm so jealous that you got to see this at the Garden the other day. It's absolutely incredible. And go Brandy. Go Brandy.
Definitely.
Incredible. Well, over the weekend, there was a little bit of a trial and tribulation with the When We Were Young Festival, which sort of made some headlines when it first got announced. And there throughout, you know, sort of this was a lineup containing a lot of sort of early 2000s alt rock emo throwbacks, including My Chemical Romance, Paramore, Bring Me the Horizon, Taking Back Sunday, Dashboard Confessional, etc., etc., etc. But Isaac, the wind had other plans for this. Am I right?
Well, yes, you know, it was it's a 3-day festival this year with the same lineup every day, which I think is a kind of an interesting way of doing it. But October 22nd, 23rd, and 29th, you could catch this multi-band, multi-stage bill at the Las Vegas festival grounds, except that for day one on October 22nd, the winds had something to do with it. I think you know more about this than I do.
They basically, you know, under the advisement of the National Weather Service and the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, they had to cancel that day's festival because, I mean, I feel you. Nobody wants a, you know, a truss rod flailing at their face when they're trying to take in a little Paramore. You know, that's kind of not, it's not what you want. So ticket holders, you know, got a refund, great stuff, and the rest of the festival went on as planned. Is that correct, Isaac? I think it is.
The show went on the next day, and I guess it will happen again this week on Saturday. And yeah, you know, I mean, you're remarking at the kind of nostalgia of this festival. It's very interesting to see something like this go down, where there's a kind of, you know, self-referential, you know, owning of it being a kind of nostalgic thing, you know, calling it When We Were Young. My Chemical Romance dressed in the apparel that they wore around the release of their second album and, you know, put on some masks and makeup to make them look old, you know. But there is a kind of unifying and, you know, I don't know, self-reflective way in which these bands that kind of on their own have some cred, some more than others, but certainly on a bill together represent a certain time and a certain place, and that is MySpace in the year 2006.
Amen.
For
very many people. Well, I mean, I hope the people that got to, you know, take in the not canceled 2 days had the times of their lives. And, you know, I'm all for a little nostalgia milking. I think it's great. Good for everybody. And we wish them well this coming weekend with the makeup. It's great. Good stuff all around. And moving right along, unless you have anything to add, Isaac, I feel like...
Well...
Please.
I will just say that this festival is already renewed for a 2023, next year, with a lineup headlined by Green Day and Blink 182. So, when we were young festival, we see you, we salute you, and we wish you luck, and everyone stay safe out there.
Nothing but. You guys stay safe. And once again, you can't control the weather, baby. And it's just, it's for your own good. So don't cry about it. It happens to the best of us. Well, there was another sort of national health warning. It was a weather advisory due to the absolute decimation of Milwaukee that happened over the weekend. Via the band,
yes,
widespread widespread panic took it to Milwaukee this weekend and burned the venue to the ground. I heard, Isaac, is that correct?
Well, that's what I heard as well, Karina. I wasn't there, but widespread panic making their return to the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This is a 3-night stand at a 2,500 capacity venue. Widespread panic, October 21st is Widespread Panic Day in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That began in 2021 to honor the group's musical accomplishments and influence on the arts community in Milwaukee. And, this place loves this band, and this band loves to play for adoring audiences. And it just it seemed like these 3 nights were nothing short of a total throwdown. Very, very special for everyone involved. And, I think we would be remiss not to mention they closed out the whole thing with a second encore. That's right. They left the stage after set two, came out and played an encore, and then left the stage again and came back to deliver a cover of Ace of Spades by Motorhead.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. I mean, these guys are always on point. We love them so much here at Inappropriate Happiness HQ. And it's incredible that they, really wet their whistle with these 3 nights like, this before embarking on this coming weekend. They're playing Halloween weekend in Savannah, Georgia, where they are going to absolutely lay waste to the 10,000 people a night that are going to see them. Is that correct, Isaac? I mean, come on. It's going to be out of control to see them there, practically in their hometown. It's pretty next level stuff. And of course, I feel like they keep getting older, but they stay the same age. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's one of those things that is a well-oiled machine. They are so inspired every time they get on stage. We stand Widespread Panic here. It's just true. It's amazing.
Yeah, I would have liked to be at either weekend, Milwaukee or the 2 nights at the End Market Arena in Savannah, Georgia. I mean, seeing them in a sold-out arena, that would be a cool experience.
We are friends with Widespread Panic's lawyer, and once in a while when you see a heater like this go down, I like to text her and I like to say, man, you're going to have a lot of work to do on Monday because those guys just burned that venue to the ground. It's a joke that doesn't get old to me, Isaac. I don't know. We'll see if it gets old, in the next few years. But I think that's indicative of just how intensely, incredibly these guys are playing. And, when you see a second encore and it's Ace of Spades, that is exactly what gets me all in a tizzy. So Widespread Panic, we salute you. We salute everyone who was there last weekend, going to Savannah this weekend. It is a beautiful thing. Speaking of Halloween gigs, I am just wildly excited to see one of my favorite bands of all time, Ween, play Halloween at the Beacon Theater. I haven't seen Ween on Halloween since 2011, Isaac, which I realized after some very intense calculations, it's over a decade ago. And that is just a crazy thought, And when your name is in the title of the holiday, it's going to be next level. So Halloween, baby, Halloween. And of course, Trey is playing Chicago. Got bands everywhere playing everything. It's going to be a great time. It's definitely a jam band holiday that is celebrated, if you will, Or just, you know, a music holiday. People like to go see a little music on Halloween, myself included. So looking forward to that. And in the line of more news, Isaac, I added a show to my December tour. This is now going to be the opener here of the tour, which brings it from December into November. November 30th, I am playing in Ithaca, New York at the Upstairs. Super stoked about it. And can't wait for the whole tour. Honestly, I'm back and now I'm just like ready for more. I can't wait to play. And yeah, check out KarinaReichman.com/tour. Hitting all over the Northeast, baby. It's going to be real, real fun. Cannot wait for that. So that bared mentioning. And otherwise, man, we are stoked here. Thank you to RJB over at Osiris for putting us on. Thank you to Marlo Shankweiler, our illustrious producer, for making us sound so shiny, squeaky clean, and spectacular week after week. And Isaac, man, feels good, dude. Feels good. What do you got for the people? How do you feel?
You know, I'm feeling ready going into this Halloween weekend. I'm feeling excited about the success of your tour with Marco and your impending tour with your band. And I just hope that everyone out there is soaking in music any way that they would like to and sharing it with the people in their lives.
Couldn't have said it any better myself. Ladies and gentlemen, on that delightful note, we will bid you adieu. We can't wait for next week to really make it rain with you over the airwaves. And until then, be well and bye-bye. Can't even pitch a tent. I've been jumping turnstiles, hailing taxis with intent. Do you need directions? I bet it's not where you...
Osiris.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the one-hit thunder or were nothing more than a one-hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week. So pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.